Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here on a getaway Friday morning, Friday, June the 5th, 2020, first Friday in the month of June, 17 minutes past the hour. And without question, the biggest story this morning was for the first time in history, announced yesterday, the Marion Popcorn Festival has decided to cancel the 2020 edition due to COVID-19 coronavirus. And we are so lucky this morning to be joined on very short notice, and I appreciate his time, by the co-director of the Marion Popcorn Festival, Tom Danner. Tom, how are you?
Good, Scott. Thanks for allowing me to come in and talk to you this morning.
Tom, of course, this was something that I'm sure was heavily thought about, heavily weighed on all sides. What finally drove the decision to cancel the festival yesterday?
Money.
Right. Tell people.
Here's the thing. I mean, there were so many issues that were unknown. I mean, we kept waiting for the governor's office to give us some kind of an idea as to how they were going to allow mass gatherings, and they have not done it. Even if they come back and say, okay, we're going to allow mass gatherings of 1,000 people, that doesn't help us. We now have to get rid of our beer gardens. We now have to completely limit the main stage entertainment to the point where it may not be profitable. Scott, here's the thing. We could certainly move the concessionaires further apart. We could mark the streets. We could have more cleaning stations. We could encourage masks. We can do all those kind of things, the social distancing, the 6 foot, but what is the popcorn festival going to look like? And how many people are going to actually come and show up? How do you make everybody feel as though it's going to be a safe environment? And when we looked at everything, we didn't know if the state of Ohio was going to license or hand out liquor licenses for mass gatherings. We didn't know if the health department would license our vendors. We didn't know if the state of Ohio would license our stages and our tents. We didn't know if the ride company was going to go out on tour this year because they've had so many fares cancel. And without the ride company, we have no electrical cabling for the street, which means we have no electric for our vendors. We don't know if the entertainment is going to go out on tour. Almost all the entertainers are looking at just canceling their season this year and just working on next year's tours. We had been in contact with our booking agent, and his recommendation is that we cancel and rebook for next year because they can't guarantee the entertainment's even going to show up. Even if you take the budget and cut it in half, Scott, the festival was still looking at probably losing $30,000 to $40,000 minimum. Mm. And if we did that, we would have no more Marion Popcorn Festivals.
Well, that being said, taking off a year, and when this does return in 2021, which we hope it will, we assume it will have been gone for 2 years, over 700 days. What impact do you think that will have on the Popcorn Festival?
Well, I mean, it would be the same thing as with the Marion County Fair. I mean, I think you have people that are dedicated to the event. They remember the event. They like the event. They enjoy the event. The event itself has always been driven by the free national entertainment. I mean, once people see who your national entertainment is going to be, they say, hey, you know, that sounds great. Let's go to that. And I know that there's people that look forward to the Marion County Fair every year. They look forward to the Marion Popcorn Festival every year, the same as Ohio State football or anything else. So I believe that people, but hopefully if we can get all this behind us and we've got a vaccine or we've got a treatment that's going to work and people feel safe going back out, Scott, I think you're going to find that people are going to say, you know, enough is enough. I want to get back to the old normal, and let's go to fairs, let's go to festivals, let's go to football, let's go to ball games, you know, and let's quit sheltering in place. So that's our hope.
You know, Tom, it's interesting because this week we also learned that the Marion Aquatic Center will not open this season, and that was a heavy-duty decision. They tried every which way possible, is my understanding, to try to make that happen. Talk with Mike Chaney, talk with Tracy Kinsler, talk with City Council, even though it was the mayor's final decision. Were there talks? How hard was it to finally come to this decision, even though obviously in the end it was a financial decision and the governor has not given us a whole lot of direction when it comes to what we can and cannot do?
Well, we've had meetings almost every week. We all came to the conclusion that we could, I mean, we're talented enough. We have enough talented people on our committee. We could have put some kind of an event together. But what would it have looked like? I mean, how big would it have been? I mean, it would have been, you know, we only have two streets and one little stage. You know, that's not really what the Marion Popcorn Festival is about. And we looked at every possibility, but there were so many possible restrictions that we were going to be facing. And you know, I know a lot of people look at this and they say, well, this is ridiculous. How on earth can you cancel an event in September that, you know, here we are in June. You've got plenty of time to figure this out. That's true, but this is a massive festival. This is one of the largest festivals, street festivals in the state of Ohio. There's a lot of moving parts. I mean, for instance, let me just give you one little example. All of the pageants, they're all supposed to be planning right now as to whether or not they're going to have pageants. I mean, you've got to be recruiting girls. The girls have to be buying their dresses. They've got to be rehearsing. You know, they're getting together, they're putting the event together, and then the pageant is normally the end of July or first week in August. Well, you know, there's almost not enough time to throw that together now. And that's just a very small part of it. But if you follow that pattern all the way down, the entertainment needed to be signed, sealed, delivered, and deposited back in January. Here we are. We are in June. We still have not signed contracts because the minute you sign those contracts, you have to send them a 50% deposit. Well, I mean, we have a $75,000 entertainment budget. Figure it out. Where was the money going to come from when our sponsors are saying, we're sorry, we don't have the money to contribute this year? And it's pretty hard to go knock on a door, Scott, and say, hey, listen, we want you to, we really need to have you to be a $1,000 sponsor, when the sponsor is saying to us, you know, we've got people laid off. We just can't do it. I mean, so when you ask me what was the decision maker, it may have been shocking to hear me say money, but at the end of the day, that's what it is.
Absolutely. Tom, one of the questions that has come up is one of the big parts of the festival every year is the royalty. There's a lot of royalty involved in the Popcorn Festival. Will they just keep their titles for another year? How will that all work?
Yes, and they've already talked to all the girls. They're all excited. I mean, the girls, they all just absolutely love having the crown and being on the court. And to be honest with you, it's more fun just to be on the court than it is to win. And they've all said yes, they would love to represent the festival for another year.
Tom, in the end here, now that this has been announced, what kind of feedback have you received in the last 24 hours?
Well, I mean, you know, I believe that when it's all said and done, most people are going to say it's understandable. You know, we get why you had to do it. We're disappointed, but you know, it makes sense. That's what our hope is. The idea is that we are going to start planning for 20. See, this is our 40th year. This is our 40th anniversary Marion Popcorn Festival. I mean, whatever we do, we've got to do it big and bold, Scott. We can't. I mean, 40 years is huge when anybody's trying to do an annual event. And we feel that if we start right now, I mean, we've already have some money in the bank from last year. We're going to be talking to all of our vendors, everybody that has gave us money, all of our sponsors, and say, hey, you know, do you mind letting that money ride? You know, we're not spending it, but we want to make sure that we have enough seed money to move forward. And then we're going to start right now, and we're going to plan an online auction event for Popcorn Festival weekend. And we're going to have some pretty interesting auction items. I mean, stuff that I think is going to have a lot of appeal. And we are hoping that online auction will help us raise a substantial amount of money. And at that time, we will have our entertainment locked in for 2021. We will make that announcement on exactly who it's going to be in September. And that's how we're planning on moving forward. And we're really hoping the community will understand, and we're hoping that they will embrace our efforts to move forward with our 40th anniversary festival.
Tom, final question, and I think the Marion County Fair will face this same problem. It's easy to make these decisions as we sit here. Not easy, but it's practical to make these decisions in June for an event that will happen in September. But when we get to September, no matter where we are in the COVID mess at that point, but when it gets to be Labor Day, when it gets to be that Thursday after Labor Day, and there's no parade for the first time in 40 years, no live entertainment, how do you think that's going to feel?
Well, I mean, we always have challenges. There's challenges every year whenever you're trying to do any kind of a large event like this, and we will face those challenges head on. We're going to try to do everything we can to deal with those challenges and move forward. And we're going to keep moving forward until we can't. And that's kind of where we were here. We kept pushing forward until we felt, okay, this now is no longer viable. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to be as positive as we can. We're going to put our trust in the governor. We're going to put our trust in the American people. We're going to put our trust in the people of Marion. And hopefully that by September of 2021, all this is going to be behind us, and we're going to be able to put on a nice festival.
Absolutely. Tom Danner, co-director of the Marion Popcorn Festival. And if you haven't heard, the 2020 edition has been canceled due to the effects of the COVID-19 pandemic. Tom, thank you so much for coming on. And I know it's difficult right now, but certainly a decision that had to be made. And I think in most people's eyes, it's the right decision to make at this point.
Scott, thanks a lot for giving me the opportunity to talk to you. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Tom. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Tom Danner, co-director of the Marion County, or the Marion Popcorn Festival, excuse me, canceled for 2020, the 40th year, but we will have the 40th Marion Popcorn Festival in September of 2021. So there's your answer as to why it is not happening. And he was very frank. Money. And it's what we talked about earlier. You have to sign these entertainment contracts. You have to get the people who are bringing in the rides. You have to get the people who are concessionaires. You've got to do all that. And if it's not coming together, if people aren't sure if they're going to tour this year, where are people going to play? That's the problem. Even if you're allowed to go out and have a concert at this point, where are the big money gigs going to be? The festivals are drying up this year at this point. The fairs are drying up at this point. Where are you going to go on tour at? Is each state going to have different rules pertaining to what you can do and can't do? This is a very difficult situation, and I think is what led to the cancellation of the 2020 Marion Popcorn Festival. So there you have it from co-director Tom Danner. Now, if anybody has any opinions on that or anything else on your mind, give me a buzz, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Before we went to break there, we were talking a little bit about food. And, you know, this comes back to Dr. Acton and Governor DeWine and what's happening. You know, the zoos and other places are going to open next Wednesday. There's a list of those, but yet Cedar Point and Kings Island will not. And apparently they are suing the state at this point because of that. It's an interesting time to be around, to say the least. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Four, give me a buzz and we will put you on the air. Always good to talk with you. And was also talking about the Exchange Club today, 12:10 to 1 p.m. Don't miss that. The new panelist today on the Exchange Club. That's going to be something, and we're going to keep that a secret right up until 12:15 today. But who's it going to be? Who am I going to sit here and have disagreements with? And so, did somebody turn the ringer on this phone on? I think they might have. I'm going to have to check on that. All right. Go ahead, caller.
Hi, Scott.
Hey, good morning.
Yep. I think I heard myself about an hour ago.
I'm glad you're back.
Half hour.
And I'm glad you're back. Did you make anything of the Popcorn Festival canceling there, the explanation?
No, I think it was the right thing to do. We haven't been to the Popcorn Festival in years. We were at the first ones, you know, the first 10 or so. But then it became so tough to get down there. I mean, my wife would have trouble walking that far. And a lot of times you were just sort of bounced out of it. And so we haven't gone there for years. Now my daughters... they normally go about every year. And the festival was a good idea. I don't know that it's still as relevant as it used to be.
It's been different the last couple years. I can say that from, I can't remember if I went last year or not. I know I went 2 years ago, but there is a little different feeling to it. And I think last year, Tom came on Charlie's show, a matter of fact, and talked about the changes that had happened over the last few years. It's, you know, I think it's one of those things, but when I think of the year in general, I think no fair, no popcorn festival. This was supposed to be our bicentennial year. All that celebration is seemingly been put on hold. I don't know if that will return as things come back next week. It's certainly thrown everybody's plans for a loop.
Yeah, no baseball, no football, no basketball, no nothing. Everyone's supposed to sit in their home and sit there. I don't know if we're supposed to pray or anything, but I'm not. And a lot of that stuff I think is so overdone. Like I say, Queen Amy there, she likes to take advantage, and I don't think the non-elected person should, for one thing, she really probably messed some people up when she, on her own, the night before the elections. No election. It's ridiculous. I think DeWine has a lot of the right ideas, but he, to me, I remember back when he ran against,
John Glenn?
John Glenn.
I know what you're talking about. I'm with you.
You have to excuse me. I'm not as agile in thought as I used to be. But, John used to go around calling him Little Mikey. And he would just take it. You know, he wouldn't say that, well, maybe I'm a little mucky, but he would just stand and take it. And I swear he's a little bit that way with her. She's, you know, like I say, she's not an elected person. And I don't think she should be telling people whether they can open their park or not. We have people that we are paying to do that, you know, in the Senate and the, you know, the whole works. And shouldn't we pay a little more attention to them, although the Republicans in there aren't that great. But I think it should be the people that we've wanted to be in the thing and make the decisions, not somebody that came out of nowhere. And all of a sudden, she's making all the moves for us. I do like the fact that when she decided that everyone should automatically wear the dumb mask all over the place, that he did cut that back. And he made it that, you know, we're not telling you you have to wear it. We would think it would be a best thing if you did wear it.
Well, you know what's kind of interesting to me, and I've never heard this addressed yet, and I think eventually it's going to be addressed, but here we are in the beginning of June. They've allowed the restaurants to reopen. They've allowed retailers to reopen. As of Wednesday, most zoos and a whole big list, civic clubs, blah, 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 they're all going to reopen. But yet, a lot of these people who were working in call centers and places of that nature who could work at home, who did not end up on the unemployment list, who were sent home back in March or early April, are still working at home. Nobody has called them back yet. Now, that's a little confusing to me, and I think contradictory to most people, that if you can work from home and then go to the zoo on the weekend, how does that all shake out?
Well, my daughter over in New Jersey is still working at home. And the whole thing is, she doesn't need to be in that office to do her work. And she does a lot of, she works with the Department of Agriculture. She works at Rutgers, and the Department of Agriculture is who she deals with. But she can do it just as well at home. And I think they're going to find out that a lot of people, that's a waste of time. You're paying them to, you know, travel places for meetings and stuff. You can do all that on a little old, with what you've got.
Well, that's my question. Is that the big change? Is that going to be, we talk about face masks and gloves and hand sanitizers and that being the big change. change that will be permanent out of this? Is the big change going
to... That won't be permanent.
Right. But is the big change going to be that people who worked in offices now are going to be allowed to work at home? And if so, and I haven't seen, and I'm sure there'll be studies because we like to study everything, what is the productivity? Is the productivity still as high as it was in the office? I don't know.
I work both ways. Most of my time I worked in an office. After I, quote, retired from one outfit, went to another, I did a lot of my work at home. Now, you have to be able to tell yourself, you got work to do, do it. Because if you don't, I know that some people that we allowed to work at home, there wasn't anything happened. I mean, I don't know what they were doing. Maybe they were watching Oprah on TV or something. But we weren't getting much out of them, so we had to pull them back in. No, you have to work in here. You have to know the people that you're allowing to do stuff like that. But in many ways, I mean, I guess if you chose, you could sit there in your underwear, and maybe not even that if you didn't want to. But, you know, still, most of what they do can be done at home.
Well, you know, the interesting thing was I always thought the theory behind offices, especially in those particular situations, was so we don't become turtles and we don't become antisocial. Because, I mean, logically, and I thought about this at the beginning of the pandemic, because that first 2 weeks was very serious. You went out on the streets and there was nobody there. I mean, technically, this radio show could be done from home now. We have that technology to be able to do that. We can do remotes. But I thought, I don't know if that's the same as getting up and going somewhere every morning. I don't know if that's the same as having social interaction with the people who come in and out of the office that you would not see if you were at home all day.
One thing I always hated about being at work, or you got a bunch of bozos in there that don't know when to shut their mouth and leave you alone, because I went there to get work done, and I would do a lot of work. But you'd have these dumb butts that come over, and they want to talk to you about this and that, and most of the time it didn't amount to anything. It wasn't talking about the work. And in cases like that, and then they would go down, and they would take long coffee breaks, and a couple of them worked for me, and they were notorious going down. It's supposed to be 15 minutes. In fact, they even have bells that would ring every 15 minutes to let them know that, okay, your time's up, go up. Well, I told them, called them in and says, now I want you guys to do something for me. I says, I want you to take a 15-minute break and come up and then go right back down and take a second one. And I said, well, that's really dumb. I said, well, taking a 30-minute break like you just did is dumber than that. You know, start following the thing. You're getting paid to work. That's your only reason you're there.
Yeah, and
you know, cut the nonsense.
Well, and I think as long as you're getting the work done at home to the level that you're supposed to, I don't think there's a big issue with it. But I do know, I will say this, there are people's health who... people who have depression disorders, people who have weight issues, people who have diseases like diabetes and things of that nature who need to be active, who, you know, their only activity working in an office was getting in their car every morning, getting dressed, getting a shower, driving to work, getting in the office, going to their desk, going to the lunchroom, blah, 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 blah. Well, now all they got to do is from their bed to their desk.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's the same thing with cell phones. It sounds like a great idea in the beginning. Boy, you will never be alone, and you'll be able to let people know when a tire goes flat on the car or there's an emergency no matter where you are. But really the fallout is that you can't take your eyes off of this during a dinner with somebody. People stop talking to each other. People stop visiting each other. And that's really the fallout.
I hate that. My one daughter lives down in Lewis Center. Her husband and her, they'll come to visit, and then they'll sit down there with their little thingies playing games and stuff. Why did you even bother?
Well, and that's what I think is going to happen here. I think right now we're still only, we're not even 3 months into this yet. And I think what's going to happen is, I think the long-term effect of this working at home, you know, let's get to 6 months and then see. And I think what's going to happen is you're going to find out that people are going out less. You're going to find out that restaurants are less busy because people aren't going anywhere on their lunch break. You're going to find out that people are gaining weight and diseases are coming out that maybe heretofore were not, because people have no activity now, especially in the winter in Ohio, which we have not seen yet during this. And I think that's going to be the long-term fallout. I don't think people had offices.
You get more of a problem when you're there and they get a sickness because of people that came there to work because they didn't want to miss the time of work because it would cost them some money. And they're sick, yet they come into work, and they get other people sick.
Well, that's why,
worse than the other way, I think.
Well, that's like what I was talking about earlier on. That's why I just like to brush people off after a while. I, you know, you can deal with people for so long, and you see them in a certain way, and then one day you look at them and you say, man, they've got a lot of baggage. They've got a lot of problem. And not that you have to black them out of your life, but you say, okay, well, I'm going to keep them at arm's length now, and they can keep doing what they're doing, and let's see how that all turns out.
Yeah, my one daughter, she has to tell this one woman that's right by her, I'm busy, shut up. Because if not, this woman will sit there and gab at the top of her voice all day.
Oh, I can believe it. It's,
and the only way she gets by with it, the guy that used to be the head of that department was her father.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah.
Nepotism in the workplace.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it's interesting, and we'll see. You know, NBA voted yesterday overwhelmingly. I think there was only one vote against it to return.
Mm-hmm.
Major League Baseball apparently is coming back next month. Maybe they can have fans at this point in certain states. It's going to be interesting.
Well,
and,
I know in some of the basketball, they would, like, put two dummies there, and a real person on this side, a real person on that side, and use that method to block those so the people don't sit next to one another.
It's going to be fascinating, and I think how this all plays out is going to be how, because right now we're at this kind of fork in the road where we've been through the, we're going to close everything, we're not going to do that again, and now how are we going to handle this from here on out to vaccine? And that's the fork in the road we're at right now, and I guess we'll find out as the weeks and days go on.
Well, there's one thing coming out of this that I really like. Down in Miami, one of their big things, I don't know if it was which outfit it is, the football or the basketball. Anyway, they're using that as a drive-in movie.
Oh, I do like that. Yes, I like the drive-ins.
I love drive-in movies.
Yes, I think I'm going to go this week over to Kenton. I like this idea of drive-in movies.
Yeah, and they've got one down in south part of Columbus.
Yeah, and then there's one over in Mansfield as well.
Oh, is there?
Yeah, there is. So there's about 30 miles, 45 miles, either way you go. You can hit a drive-in somewhere.
But that was always fun. You go out there and you buy so much food you didn't need. And, you know, the popcorn, the whole works, you go out there and sometimes the kids would go out and play, and if they didn't like the movie, they'd go out and play on the swings and stuff. It was fun.
Yeah, and I love the idea of that, and I love, because my family was in that business years ago, and they always liked it. And so I'm happy to see this coming back. This is one thing I like. And this weekend, I know the Kenton drive-in is showing Grease and Ferris Bueller. Now, these are not new movies, but, you know, they're good movies.
They're enjoyable movies.
They're enjoyable movies. And why not watch them there on a beautiful Saturday night than sitting at home if you can get out and do that?
Yep.
Well, hey, thanks for calling in. It's always a pleasure to talk to you.
Well, I enjoyed it.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. And again, this all comes back to the people you're with. If you have the right company, the drive-in movie will be interesting. Grease and Ferris Bueller will be interesting as long as you have the right company. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. Now you've heard from Tom Danner, the co-director of the Marion Popcorn Festival, on how all that's going to shake out. No popcorn festival this year, but that's the way it goes in the COVID-19 pandemic of 2020. 740-383-9944, 51 minutes past the hour. And again, I'll be on for three more hours this morning, and at noon we'll have our new Exchange Club panelist. What fun that will be. Go ahead, caller.
Morning, Jack.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Oh, I'm all right, I guess. Well, I never heard anything from anybody. So, I guess what you said the other day about the virus, everybody's staying in and all. So.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things.
Yeah, I think that might be it.
Well, hey.
I'm still popping around trying to find a place.
So. Did you end up anywhere good?
No, I can't find nothing. I can't walk that far and get around. I'm staying at the motel.
Oh, you're staying at the motel right now?
Yeah, well, I've been on the street for the last couple of days.
Oh.
And, but I have a procedure this afternoon. And, so I'm going to have to go to the motel for a couple of days.
Oh, okay. Well, what's the give me the phone number again if anybody has anything.
740
341-6926. Well, I will keep that up. Good luck with the procedure today, and hopefully you hear something. Let us know.
Yeah, I said the street ain't crowded. I found my little hidey hole, and I did it and kind of stay out of it. So, anyway, I will have to go to the motel after my procedure today, because I won't be able to sleep on the ground.
Right. Well, I tell you, good luck with the procedure.
All right, thank you.
Bye-bye. And again, that's our friend Bob out there in the listening audience looking for a place to live, upstairs or downstairs. You probably want to talk to him about the price of the rent, but could be a sleeping room. Apparently, he's in the motel now. Give him a call, 740-341-6926. That's 740-341-6926. 740-341-6926. If you have a place open or you know of some places, apparently the Rotary Towers and the senior places have a waiting list at this particular point. So if you know of any place where he could end up, give him a call, 740-341-6926. All right, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. I feel like a phone number type of guy today. 740-383-9944. But you know, it is true, people change over time. That's just the way it goes. And, you know, you hope it's for the best. The one thing I hate is watching somebody who has a lot of potential kind of go off the end of the cliff. And, you know, that happens. And I don't, you know, nobody means to go over the edge of the cliff, but I think they just unfortunately do. But what can you do? What can you do? That's what you end up saying. What can you do? All right. Well, I haven't talked about this in a while. This was a big discussion the other day, talking about marriage and proposals, because I've come up with the brilliant idea that I don't think in the 80 years of broadcast here in Marion that anybody has ever done a proposal over the airwaves. And for some reason, people are putting proposal and marriage together. I don't know that proposal and marriage should be put together. I understand that one leads to the next. And I'm not saying that that should not happen. I'm just saying it doesn't necessarily have to happen. Proposal does not always mean marriage. So, my feeling on this situation is that if I know there's somebody I like, you know, because that's all a proposal is, somebody you like, you say, okay, the words that you need to say about marriage, and then if they say yes, well, then you're engaged. But I don't know that that necessarily means you have to be married. married, because I've had this crusade for so long about not being married and that it's a bad idea that I don't know if I can particularly break that crusade at this particular point. So I still think that you can propose to somebody on the air and be the first person to do that in the 80-year broadcast history here in Marion. Why not do it? Let it rip. And you don't set the wedding date right away, and maybe you don't even have a wedding. You know, it could be one of those things. But it has to be somebody you like. It has to be somebody you can stand. Because on the off chance that you do get married, you want to like that person. You don't want that person to be difficult. So, you know, you have to choose the right one. Got to be very careful on these things. And I'm going to talk more about this because I got a book in the mail the other day, How Serendipitous. And the book is What Makes a Marriage Last? 40 Celebrated Couples Share With Us the Secrets to a Happy Life. Now, this is written, now here's another serendipitous point, by Marlo Thomas and Phil Donahue. How about that? Marlo Thomas and Phil Donahue have written this book. And it's a big book, hardcover book. A lot of pictures in this book. But here are the tips in this book to how to make a marriage last. So maybe all I have to do is read the, how many pages is this book? It's a big book, 605 pages to this book. Marlo Thomas, Phil Donahue, What Makes a Marriage Last? So maybe all I have to do is read this book, because heavens knows I respect Phil Donahue, and this will set me straight on the whole marriage thing and the proposal and so on and so forth that could possibly go on. Don't forget, 12 noon today till 1 p.m., we have our new Exchange Club panelists. That's going to be a lot of fun. Don't want to miss that for love nor money, speaking of love. And if you have anything to say, the phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give us a buzz and we will put you up on the air. We have about 2 minutes left in this particular hour. And we thank Tom Danner, the co-director of the Marion Popcorn Festival, for coming on. And remember, the 2020 edition of the Marion Popcorn Festival has been canceled due to coronavirus, COVID-19, COVID-19, however you wish to refer to it. But I do like the idea of drive-ins coming back. And remember, I'm getting no money for this, but apparently I'm a proponent now for the Kenton drive-in this weekend. Grease and Ferris Bueller are the movies at the Kenton drive-in this week, but apparently they have a double screen, so there are movies that will be airing on the other screen. So that is that as well. We're getting a phone call here. Go ahead, caller.
Have you had any more on your name of your show you're going to do?
You know, we have not named that show yet, and do you have another suggestion for the title of the 10 o'clock show?
Well, I was thinking Chopper News.
Chopper, well, you know, we do have the WWGH News Chopper up and running.
Sure.
So, Okay. Yeah, Chopper, I'll tell you what, I will look at that. So there we go, Chopper News, I'll put that down.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, bye-bye. All right, Chopper News. Could be Chopper News. How about that? 740-383-9944. 740-383-9944. Give me a buzz. It's almost 10 a.m., but I'll be here till 1 o'clock today. Now, remember, noon to 1 will be our big Exchange Club, and our big Exchange Club reveal as our new panelist will be joining us. Won't that be something? Of course it will. That will be something to be sure. And I'll be back in just about 10 minutes with much more here on WWGH Radio. Don't you dare go anywhere, but interesting stuff. Stay tuned.
From legendary comedian Orson Bean singing the Baloney Song.
Two Irishmen and a Hebrew, one went out for recreation, and they took enough provisions along to spend a week's vacation. But they got lost out in the woods, dark and lonely. Lost all of the